Did you send out?
Do the roll call.
Notice?
Justin will get us going.
Yep. Recording?
Yes.
Great, okay. So, today is November 4th. It's 9 a.m. 9:01. I'm Justin Colell. We'll start the roll call for the Clark County Noxious Weed Control Board meeting. Lee Wells, District 1. Jerry Vaughn, District 2.
Here.
Bill Zimmerman, District 3. Okay, absent. Jerry Kolke, District 4.
Here.
And Randy Lawfer, District 5.
Here.
Justin O'Day, WSU Extension. Absent. Okay. All right. Also present, we have Don Kirkow. Hi, Don.
How are you doing, Justin?
And John Wilson. And Chris Walker. Great, okay. We can take a few moments and you guys can review, and then I think Jerry will call for a vote to approve the minutes from the two previous meetings.
I guess we'll do the August 5th. It doesn't make any difference. We'll do the August 5th minutes first.
You have to have a motion to accept them?
I do.
I move to accept them.
Okay. Motion. Maybe a second? All right. Second by Sherry. Any discussion on those? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. So we approve those. Then the other minutes, a special meeting on September 30th.
I move we accept them. The only question I got on that is, did we get the letter sent out to them?
Yes. Yeah. I'll go over that on item number 4.
Give me a second.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion, questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Approved.
I just emailed Bill, so we'll see if he notices that.
Okay. Item 3, back to you, Justin.
Okay. I'll give some quick updates on the things we have going on right now. Actually, let me just jump ahead to mention the Tansy signs first. We did get back our Tansy signs, but John scoffs because it's a dismal rate of return now. There's a lot of people moving the Tansy ragwort signs, the control Tansy ragwort signs that we stick out on the road, so we will keep working on that to try to figure out if there's a way we can
do they show up somewhere else?
Yeah, they show up in other people's driveways and
yeah, we had one last year. This, someone moved it to their neighbor's driveway because they were mad about moving
it. That's actually not a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah, and Danielle found one this year at Cozy Camp at one of our mitigation sites.
I was thinking about just having the stack of the old ones, and if you come to the office, I'll just give you one of those signs.
Yeah.
You know, just stop taking the ones off the road sign. I'll just pass them out.
We have been taking note of where we put them, and then if we get them back in certain spots. So we're trying to put them back in all of our good spots.
In the good spots.
So they don't get taken, and then try out new ones every year. And we'll see.
But I felt like we had pretty good coverage when we were out and about in the summertime. You know, people were seeing them, and I mean, obviously people were seeing them, but hopefully they, you know, they did a good job. And if you guys have any feedback of like places that are...
How many letters did you send out for people not?
There were hundreds of letters for Tansy. Do you mean just warning letters?
Yes.
Yeah, hundreds of letters. Pretty much standard, I feel like. We've been doing, they've been doing a great job, I would say. Maybe it's a little bit more as we get a little bit more dialed in.
That's a bad year.
It was especially bad year for Tansy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seemed like
great
we had
growing season.
Several new reports exactly. For Tansy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Justin, I have a quick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a perennial abuser on the corner, on the southeast corner of Landerholm and 40th out by the center. That again this year, they had a nice crop growing all the way until like maybe close to October, and then they finally mowed the field down. Mm. So I'm wondering if they've ever gotten anything past just a warning letter, because they sure seem to avoid it one way or the other.
Yeah, we can pull that up. Our system takes quite a long time once you actually start, you know, trying to get it to...
I'm just more queuing this one for next year.
Yeah, no, definitely. But we can see what they did. You said it's Landerholm and 40th?
Yeah, it's the southeast corner of Landerholm and 40th.
Okay. Yeah, I'll start pulling that up at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
And then we'll see.
It was a lot of tansies, like you said.
Yeah,
this year.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially on our roadsides, too. I noticed it was a really bad year. But... The crew on the other part of our office did a great job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you pull those and weigh them, do you weigh the whole plant or just the flower part?
Mostly it's just the flower heads. Every once in a while I see a bag where they've got the whole plant in there. But
so that's a lot
it's
of
mostly
weight.
Just the flower yeah. heads, yeah. Yep. Yeah, there's a lot. And then I'll skip forward again. Variable leaf milfoil. Just now, finishing up some of the paperwork involved of variable leaf milfoil. But other than the paperwork, I'm to the point where I'm doing follow-up visits. We have one site that was treated by a contractor late 2023. That I looked at, and the contractor missed some of the variable leaf milfoil in the feeder stream that goes into this person's pond. So I'll have to arrange to treat that one next year, because most of it's gone, and I think maybe what the homeowner was seeing when they called me up was actually a native plant called bladderwort, because that's what I've been seeing a lot is the bladderwort just gets released and it flourishes like crazy. There was especially one pond where the nutrients were high and turbidity was low and lots of sunlight, and the bladderwort just took off. So it looks very similar, feathery plant and, you know, long strands of it. So yeah. And besides that one, I know that one of the places that I treated this year, we had somebody with University of Washington, I think, who was going along behind and taking data points. They'd like to put together research for how effective our treatments are on variable leaf. And that was the one place that she said, there's still some variable leaf that's amongst some really dense vegetation. So I know I've got at least two sites to treat next year.
How many sites did the county treat?
So I treated five. Total, I treated seven. The contractor, I believe, was 2023, they treated five. And so how that worked was, last year, we knew for certain that all of the sites that were just purebred variable leaf milfoil, that was a Class A last year. And so we had the contractor take care of all those, because that was the quickest way to get it done. That was a real headache for the grant, but once I had help from, I think I mentioned, the guy at Washington Fish and Wildlife, he was really helpful. So I treated the remaining sites that were hybridized very well. So got those ones done this year, with the notable exception of Warren Seeley. That one is still looking quite bad, so I need to reconnoiter with Gene Jones and just make sure something's going on there, because I took some pictures just recently. The little bubblers that they have out there, there's only two of them that are, two or three, that are actually going, and yeah, it's
is
not
that,
taking...
Is that the canisters?
Yeah, it's
only
not
two
taking
or three
out,
going?
Yeah, it's not taking out the variable leaf milfoil, or even the water shield, so...
I think they got, what, 10 in there?
Yeah, there's 10 in the water, or yeah. So. Is it 10? That sounds right. But they only have power going right now to two or three of them.
I thought they got that solved. When were you out there?
Just recently.
Oh?
Yeah, like last week. I could tell you with these pictures, actually, because, yeah, the bubblers are, some of them are going, but it didn't stop it. So anyway, we're going to need to...
So if somebody private gets a contractor to come in and do it, does the county reimburse them, or do they get a grant for that?
Well, if the landowner wants to take care of it themselves, they can. But the way I was doing it was the Department of Ecology gave us a grant to just take care of it for them. So it's pre-control work. If you
so
say
if
yes.
You, if the county does it, it's paid for.
Yes. Yeah. And that's because it's, well, for one, it's pretty technical stuff. You don't want just anybody slinging herbicide in the water. And for two, it's a very limited distribution right now. So we would like to get it eradicated, if at all possible. So my next thoughts are on the regrowth, trying to make sure that, you know, we get a good idea of how much it regrows from seeds.
How did that come about to be here to begin with?
I would love to know. The best guess at this point is that it could have been from fish stocking, because plants, aquatic plants, can come along when you stock bass. And that's pretty much what we found with all these places.
Most of the fish stocking comes out of fish hatcheries, don't it?
Some, yes. But I know that the Miller place was a source for fish stocking. And they were also stocked from somewhere else. So it's kind of another leapfrog.
The one there at the Yakult?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
They don't run the fish place anymore, but I believe there's still fish there because there's creeks they can go up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So at this point, I feel like we have a pretty good handle on it, except for Warren Seeley. Sugawa Brothers Reservoir was the biggest infestation. And that turned out really, really nicely. And like I say, getting the rates dialed in just right so that the herbicide doesn't do anything else to any other aquatic plants. They had a little bit of twisting and yellowing, but then they grow out of it and they're okay. And the bladderwort especially, the native plants are still there and going crazy and happy. So that's a good thing as far as I'm concerned. Now that, you know, people who want to use the water for something else, they might not like it, but that's native plants. So
have you noticed it growing down creek from Warren Seeley's?
Yeah, that's been something that we've looked at a lot. There's a water ski lake that's just down from them, heavily managed. I think that's Mint Lake. Yeah, I think that's the name of it. And it's not there. So I've been looking in Rock Creek. Now, just on the other side of the splash, what do they call that? The little channel that comes off of Warren Seeley turns into Rock Creek, but just spillway, that's what it's called. the outlet right there, it has variable leaf milfoil. So it has escaped from Warren Seeley, but as far as how far down Rock Creek it has gone, I haven't seen it in the water ski lake, so that would be the next one. And then Anywhere where it's moving slow will be where I focus on to try to follow up from there and see if it has hopefully not made it all the way to the East Fork, but you know, that's what's downstream from Rock Creek. That's where it empties. And on Knotweed, we've been making a lot of progress really quickly at the tail end of the year. Again, using the drone, we were able to get lots of ground covered to look for knotweed in places we've never been able to see into before. Just making sure that we're clear of the power lines and stuff like that. It's been technical, but very productive on that. That season, we really ate into it a lot from all of the very belief milfoil work. So it's been just the tail end of this year that we've done knotweed. But with all the location data, we'll be able to get a jump start on it next year. And it seems like I'll be doing less very belief work next year and more knotweed. So
does that stuff die off now that you can't spot it, or can you still spot it now?
Yeah, we're in the very, very tail end of when you can actually see it. The leaves are all turning yellow and falling off, yeah.
And so you won't notice where it's at anymore.
It'll be really hard to see it, yep.
Question for you. You know where Swanson's place is?
Yep.
Well, you know that there's a whole bunch of knotweed back there?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Unfortunately, the legacy lands you're talking about, or on the private property?
Just on the,
on the
east side of the power line on the river side of their property.
Yeah.
Because I was out there doing some knotweed stuff for them on their property, and I noticed it was quite abundant out in there.
Yeah. Yeah, we have noticed it all throughout there. The trouble with that is that we get into an issue with the knotweed grant, where I think I've mentioned before, they don't want us to go through and do what they call mowing the lawn, where we just keep treating the same knotweed patch over and over again. So the stuff that we're doing with the drone right now really is where they want the money to go, where we're discovering the highest locations of knotweed.
Can I throw one thing in real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I read an article, I don't know, sometime last fall, about they were talking about different ways of taking care of knotweed, and this one I thought I'd give it a shot. And what they did is they go in ahead of time, basically first week of June, mm-hmm. and they cut it down,
mm-hmm.
and then they wait for it to grow back when you would normally do blackberries and other rhizomes that are trying to build the roots,
mm-hmm.
you spray it then, because it's all new growth, it hadn't had a mm-hmm. chance to seed, and it draws everything into the roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna know this year how much of the roots it actually kills, but it's pretty labor intensive to cut them down, because they'll grow up through, you know, the briars and everything else.
Right. Yeah, I've got a contact, same guy I mentioned before, Dave Heimer with Washington Fish and Wildlife. He has time, and so what he'll do with his sites is, like you're saying, two visits. If you have the time for that, that's fantastic. He goes through with Diquat the first part of the spring, so he can get a quick burn down, and that might be a little bit labor saving as far as your hours invested, because then you're essentially getting it to grow twice, you know, and when you go back through, you have the option of treating when it's, you know, maybe chest height instead of way over your head. So that is something that people are looking into,
to try. Yeah, so when I took these down, they were big,
mm-hmm.
But when we went back at the, I think it was like first or second week of September, most of it was only about that tall.
Yeah, yeah.
And it made it really easy to go in and get a good coverage on them. So.
Yep. Yeah, and so, as long as you have, you know, the same conditions and everything, and that's, you know, like I say, if you have the time for it and you're able to go back twice a year, I think a lot of times we don't have the bandwidth. It's lucky if we can get to all the sites once a year, you know. we just discovered a new site, and it is on Walton. Walton. Walton Creek, that's off of SR 14, on the very far east side of Washougal, so almost at the county line. And that had never been documented before that I know of, so that's a really troublesome area for it to be, because other than the one spot, you know, Lawton and Walton Creek were both pristine except for that one, and it's in a deep, deep canyon. So getting to it to treat it is going to be a big problem, and we never would have found this if we didn't have the drones. So
when you come to those county lines you just mentioned, does the other county work with you?
Yes, we have cooperated in the past, especially with Washougal. Washougal River, we have been working with Skamania for many years. Yeah, and they are in what they call maintenance mode for knotweed, which I don't know exactly what they mean by that, because there's a lot out there. But cowlitz, we also worked with on the North Fork, but they have a lot too. So all the Pacific Core land, Pacific Power and Light, that's up there, just downstream from the dam. There's quite a bit on the North Fork, all around Eagle Island, all that stuff. So it's been there for a while.
So does PP&L put people out too?
Yes.
Treat it?
Yeah, they were pretty good the last time that I spoke with them about doing the survey, at least. But it's it's very tenacious stuff. In the North Fork, there are some very, very established populations that we just saw again. And I did a little bit of treatment this year on the North Fork, just because it was that same infestation. It's just huge. Yeah, all right. And then I'd like to cover the civil infractions. So this year was a little lighter. We wrote 3 civil infractions. Roland had milk thistle mostly, also some poison hemlock, almost $3,000 in fines from the civil infractions that I wrote. And they sold the properties. So that kind of throws a wrench in the works as far as...
So it all starts over again.
Getting a lien. But yes, the new property owner gets to have a very rude awakening. No doubt they were not informed that the property was in the final stages of getting a whole bunch of fines for noxious weeds. But like I say, it's a wrench in the works for our usual process of putting liens on the property, because the new landowner should not, you know, have liens put on their property when they weren't the one that had this go. So we're working to get that converted over to just go to collections, since Roland didn't actually contact us at all, didn't really do anything, you know, just sort of dodged and was silent. So I don't appreciate that. We're going to just send it off to collections, and then yes, the process will start anew with the new landowner, who's probably not going to be thrilled to learn about that. But I get the impression that they're going to have a lot of those types of conversations, because we got wind of Vancouver code enforcement also having action on the same property. So Polish Homes, yes, I did get the land management plan back from them signed. So we've got a good understanding there, and all the contact that I've had with Olson Environmental makes me feel like, yes, they're definitely going to understand the right way to take care of things moving forward. So I look forward to that not being quite such the infestation as it was this year moving forward. And one little technical bit of that, the land management plan works great when it's just the one developer that we're talking directly to, but once that all gets subdivided up and now I have lots of little landowners, then, you know, all those little parcels, that'll be interesting to see how that goes. And then what HOA maybe has to deal with all those roads, or if those roads get deeded over and now they become City of Ridgefield's issue to deal with, and we'll have to see, because I would imagine that gravel access road isn't going to turn into somebody's backyard. I would imagine that's going to be the south access road for whatever. I haven't looked at the lot plan or anything like that, which I can't. but yeah, I would imagine it turns into probably City of Ridgefield's issue. And I already know that they have very, very few employees for any sort of parks maintenance sort of thing, or roadside maintenance. So that can potentially be an issue for the future. But hopefully, when they have record expansion, that they can also hire some people. We'll see. Okay, and then lastly, my garlic mustard vine wrote to CenturyLink, owned by US West on Salmon Creek, who didn't really do the work needed to take care of the garlic mustard. And when I put boots on the ground at that spot, it was much worse than we could see from the road. So this is one of those where it just gets worse. The more you look, the more you see. And at where we are in the process, they have not responded when we mailed them the intent to lien. So it'll probably become a lien on the property, and I'll probably continue to go around in circles unless a contact person wants to get in touch. I don't know. You know, I called the number that we had listed in the report for last year, and I do a little bit of sleuthing, but after a minute, you know, I have to move on. We have lots of other places. So that's the long and the short of the civil interactions. And for number five, May 5th, thanks for pointing that out, Randy. May 5th is going to be the right date for the 2025 meeting.
So February 3rd, May 5th, August 4th, and November 3rd. Okay. Put those in your calendars.
I don't think we had any public comment, did we?
I did not.
Did not have any. Comment. Good.
Don, you want to say anything else for public comment?
I just had a question. Towards the end of the season, I saw a great deal of the knapweed, the blacker chocolate flat knapweed. And I'm wondering if I just had some customers that I hadn't seen it before, or is it starting to come back? It's easy to kill, but I mean, it just...
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you see both that one and the meadow knapweed? Are you sure that there's a difference? Because the only stuff that I've really seen out there has been, I mean, in North County, right? We have diffuse and spotted and, yeah,
I'm
several
sorry,
of them
are,
down in the sandy
soil. These are called the brown knapweed.
Brown knapweed.
Brown knapweed,
okay.
Sorry. The one with the purple flower on them. And
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Vassland kills them really well, but
yeah, it sure does. Yeah,
But I was just curious if it was going to be like, you know, 6 or 7 years ago when all of a sudden the hemlocks started coming back, and then we started seeing it everywhere. But
yeah, That's a good question. I would want to look and see kind of how you're getting to brown knapweed versus meadow knapweed, because almost everything that I've seen up in North County I would call meadow knapweed if it wasn't the spotted knapweed. Because we have...
It's on my picture this.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it could be called by multiple things. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Yeah, let me look at the pictures that you got, and okay. That would be fun to see which kind it is. Meadow knapweed, we have seen quite a lot all along Highway 503, all the way out to the county line.
These have been up off of 60th, way up high off of 60th, and then off of 259th that cuts east-west.
Yes.
Yeah. Those are the two primary areas that I've seen it quite a bit.
Yeah.
Growing in the ditches and growing in the pastures and growing in the
Yep. Yeah, Vantall's dairy has had quite a bit of, I don't know, not just them, but, you know, around them as well. And,
I mean, a lot of those I don't see until a customer calls me and says, hey, can you come spray this?
Right, yeah.
So that's what I notice if it's starting to pick up.
Yeah. I've seen it kind of come in waves. It seems like there'll be a really good year for it to bloom. It'll spread by roots as well as by seed. So some of the years, you know, you'll see it blooming, but it won't be as dense. And then some years it's just really dense. And you just look out, and I think we have some of those magnets from the state of just totally covered, you know, the pasture looked fine and then it turned purple. And I said, oh, no, that's not good, because that's not good forage. But yeah, I'd like to see those pictures. That'd be really good.
Any items from the board? Any more questions? Okay. No action items, no additional. Next meeting, February 3rd. Is that on your calendar?
Mm-hmm. And I have your application done to reapply for District 2.
There was an email, and see, it wasn't Justin. Who was the email from? That they did it for me.
I did it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
I did it.
So, what do you need from me then?
I don't need anything right now.
Okay.
I just wanted to let you know that I did that, and also for Bill. And then Jerry is not returning, right?
Right.
We'll
moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Moving on.
Bigger pastures.
Yeah. Yep.
So we'll have to fill District
4.
Mm-hmm.
4.
Yeah. So the advertisements are in the Columbian and on our website. And so same as always, it'll just, you know, whoever applies will come. You know, all those apps come here to the board, and then the weed board selects who they want to recommend, and then that goes to the county council, and then they do the appointing. So it's a little bit of a process, but it's in the works.
So, I remember when mine went through.
Yeah, it was a while. And unfortunately, you just happen to be that last year, so we have to do it all over again next time.
This is like normal volunteer, isn't it? You have to find a replacement or you can't leave.
Oh, yeah, is that how that works?
That's good.
Start making some
He's
phone calls.
He's going to help us.
Yeah.
He knows.
So you got a movie for us, or?
Yeah.
Before I adjourn?
Sure, before or after, either way.
Okay.
Adjourn your last meeting.
If I adjourn, then Chris can quit taking notes and we can watch the movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're adjourned.
Make it informal.